You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
You know what stops all the chatter? Let's pray. Ish. Praying. Here it comes. Thank you, God. Thank you for the morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray today that you would fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Help us yield, and we ask that you would move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could do anything with the rest of your life, what would you do?
Travel.
Travel? God's will. God's will. Nice. Sleep. Karen, I'm praying for a good nap for you today.
Spend time with my children.
Time with your kids.
Take the fight to the wicked.
Take the fight to the wicked. I like it. Soldiers, let's go. What else? Anything with the rest of your life, what would you do?
Sing.
That's a good choice. What else? Play more golf. I'm down for that.
Help people.
I love it. Nicely said. What else? Firefighting? I love it. Noble cause. Fantastic. What else?
Teach.
I heard it, Lois. Say it.
Be one with Jesus.
Be one with Jesus. Let's go. I love that. So what's keeping you from doing it? I knew it was going to get quiet. What's keeping you from doing it? Seriously. Yeah, me. That's it. You know, I suppose it's like last week. We get trapped by the past. We get trapped in the present. I talked about last week, we're supposed to cry out to God. How many of you cried out this past week? That's good. How many of you grumbled? How many of you did both? Yeah. You know, we have these clarifying moments in our lives, don't we? They happen when we graduate, when we get married, when we have a child, we get a new job. We have clarifying moments when we get sick, clarifying moments where we're healed, clarifying moments when we lose a spouse or someone we love. We have clarifying moments that show up out of the blue, and we're shocked that it happened altogether. And the Holy Spirit comes and grips us and shakes us and says, "This is a moment. Let's go." And then Monday comes. Right? And when Monday comes, we go tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, we go next week. And when next week comes, we say, well, next month. It's way more open. And when next month comes, we say, that sounds like a great resolution for 2027. And when 2027 comes, we say, when the kids leave home or when I retire or whatever. And sometimes we miss it, don't we? And yet we have these dreams in our lives, these hopes and dreams that we want to pursue. And when the Holy Spirit comes and shakes us and pulls us and says, "Hey, I'm up ahead. There's the words that I gave to you last week. I'm up ahead. I'm drawing you. I'm pulling you. I'm guiding you. I'm asking you." Well, sometimes we grumble. Sometimes we cry out. You know, I think Paul understood that. He had lots of hopes and dreams. In fact, listen to his resume. He had a hope and dream for his life. I think he wanted to be the spiritual CEO of sorts for all of Israel. And he says this about his resume in the letter we're going to read today. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's a big resume. And yet he would go on to say, all of this stuff, all of my hopes and dreams, my entire spiritual resume, I count as rubbish. It's trash. It's worth nothing for the sake of knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that I might have that in my life. Let's go. Today, I believe the Lord wants to give us a different vision and pattern for living life. And it'll be very different than the kind of Christianity some of you grew up on. And I would submit to you that if you live into this hope and this dream that God has for your life, you will find greater fulfillment, greater peace, greater meaning, a greater sense of purpose. You ready for it? Underwhelming, friends. You know, we've been talking about what it is to transform Methodism and lead the way. I think this is part of that picture. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is their destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Well, Paul wanted this new life up ahead, and there was a realization that he didn't have it all yet. And I think that's just like us. We dream big, we want God's promises to come to pass, and then when we try to follow through, it doesn't come to pass. We want to be healthy, but pizza calls our name. We want the new job, and yet the year and a half of training it's going to take to get there, we're not really interested in pursuing. We want to find freedom from our past or healing from that past, and yet when we realize we're going to have to go and sit with a counselor for about a year to unpack it all, that doesn't sound like fun, does it? It's the same thing in our life with Christ. Notice what he says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already, that's a big word, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He's not grasped perfection, completion, wholeness, the totality of his salvation. What's he after? He wants all that God has for him. Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants all that God has for him. I want the completeness, the totality, the wholeness, the perfection of what God has in store for me. Paul wants it all, but he realizes he's not there yet. Anybody else living in that place today? Who wants more? Some of you need help. You should want more. And that's okay. Like, we're going to get there. He says, well, one thing I do, I am forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we have to forget what's behind, not bring to mind, quite literally. How many people know that that's really hard? How many of you are still thinking about your past, living on memory lane? That's a tough place, isn't it? I know I got about a 7-year period of my life. I went spiritually, mentally absent. I think about it all the time. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say otherwise. You know, I think our thing is we go something like, if it just wouldn't have happened, if I would have made different choices, if I just would have responded differently, if that thing wouldn't have happened, if I just wouldn't have taken the ride, if I just wouldn't have hung out with those people, if I just would have made a different decision, if I could just make a DeLorean with a flux capacitor in that thing. Yes? I mean, that's it. And we stay there and we kind of swim there and circle there. And I think a lot of us are wondering, well, how do we really forget what's behind? Here's the thing, friends. To some degree, I don't think God wants us to forget what's behind. And the reason is this: His mercy and grace met us there. The mercy and grace that He bought for us at the cross met us in our past brokenness to forgive us. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And so in those moments where we go, oh, all those things that I did, those things that I said, those things that I wish I would have done, that I didn't do, the opportunities that I missed, the people that I hurt, the people who hurt me, that's where mercy and grace has to come in. And to remember the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that. I mean, it should bring us to our knees and go, wow, God, thank you. Thank you that you didn't leave me there. And the way that we forget what's behind is when it comes up and it stirs up in our heart and our mind and our life, we say, you know what, those things happened, and yet the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ met me there to forgive me, and I am no longer that person. I am a new creation. God has changed my heart, and God has changed my life, and thanks be to God for that, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That I'm being made a new creation. And Paul says, well, we don't have to stop there. We got to forget what was past and strain, quite literally run with utterly everything that we've got, trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to grant us that. We've got to participate in it, though. See, there's two parts of it, right? There's God's power, which we're dead meat without. But there's our participation to make God's power present in our lives. Does this make sense? See, God doesn't ever coerce you. He doesn't go, argh. I mean, maybe there's a few things where, but more often than not, if you want God to be active and present in your life, you got to invite. And then God's power begins to move. And so I'm straining, I'm running after to the uttermost what lies ahead. That's the prize. God's purpose is becoming the man or woman that God created you to be. I think Fred Rogers had it right. You were created special. Every single one of you. And before the foundations of the world were laid, He had a purpose and a plan for your life. And in that purpose and plan, it was part of His greater purposes and plans for all of creation. And as you live into what it is to be the man or woman of God that God would have you to be, ho, 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 now there's the prize. So two things, we've got to forget and strain. And as we forget, but not forgetting mercy and grace, and as we strain toward what's ahead, we gain the prize. Well, what's the prize, Brian? Well, quite simply this. The prize, the dream God has for your life, is His will becoming your will. That's His dream. You ever notice how you had different dreams for your life, and sometimes you get them? You know, you're going to buy this thing. You're going to take this trip. You're going to have this job. And more often than not, when you get it, you're not entirely fulfilled. You ever notice that? Like, I took the trip, and it was great. Now I got to pay for it. I got the job, and it's great. Then I got to deal with clients. Then I got patients who come to me, and they all read WebMD. You know? I wanted to do this thing. It was going to be amazing, and then all of a sudden it feels unfulfilling. Why do you think that that is? Because I think that's part of God's dream for your life. But the greater part of God's dream for your life is that His will would become your will. And as His will becomes your will, you begin to live into God's purposes and plans for your life. You live into God's way for your life. You throw off the things that bring you harm, that bring harm to others, and you're able to love God and you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's the prize. That's what God is after. And as you ask for His power and give Him your participation, you begin to live into His will. Wesley, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called this the doctrine of entire sanctification or Christian perfection. Some of you go, I don't know about all that. What do you mean, perfection? I don't mean that we never sin. I mean that we can arrive at a certain point in our lives where the will of God so completely takes over us that we don't want to sin, that we choose not to willfully sin. And God grants us that power, and we participate in that. Do you believe this is possible? Guys, come on, work with me a little bit here. I mean, we got this is it Thanksgiving this week? Let's go buy the cranberries. Do you think this is possible?
Yes.
Of course it is. The question is, do we live like it? I know, that's what's so hard. That's what's so hard. And this has been the Methodist struggle for so long that we can't forget what's behind and strain toward what's ahead, towards the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, rather than the point of the Christian faith being about becoming like Christ. We've stopped halfway at trusting Jesus. I mean, very simple. What do Methodists believe? In three sentences, this is it. That God comes to us so we can hear Him, so we can trust Him, so we can be like Him. And somewhere along the way, we lost the distinctive of who we are as Methodist folks. We said, well, it's just good enough to trust Him. I went down at 9 years old, I prayed the prayer. I'm in. No. That's not the goal. The goal is that we would be like Him. Jesus said, the goal is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not like Jesus, can you love your neighbor as yourself in the middle of rush hour traffic during Christmas time? Of course you can't. Can you love the person at the store who walks up with no receipt and wants to return $500 worth of stuff and goes, I'm not leaving until I get my money back? In cash. And you go, oh. Of course you can't. See, the deal is this. It's not just about Jesus being your Savior. That's awesome. Mercy and grace, right? If we don't have that, we're all in deep doo-doo. I think that's a Wesleyan phrase. God doesn't want to just be our Savior. He wants to be Lord. How many of us know that's two very different things? Anybody can get saved. Like, come on down front today. We'll pray for you. You're in. But to be Lord, to ask for His power and to grant Him your participation, man, that's something radically different. And that requires a yielding your will to be His will. Now, that's hard stuff. And that's what helps us become like Jesus. That's where the prize is. The Wesleyan way leads us that way, and that's what I'm convinced of. Somewhere along the way, we littered the way, and we lost that way. We made conversion the end point rather than the starting point. And the purpose of the church is to help you become mature, to help you become complete, to help you become whole. That's why we're a church of hope, healing, and wholeness. It's a journey. You need the hope of hearing Christ. Then you need the healing of trusting Christ. And then you need to live into the wholeness of becoming like Christ. That's the journey, friends. That's what we're after. And Paul says, if you don't think that's really what it's all about, if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal it, that also to you. I would say this, Paul's saying, think again. You're missing the point. Let us hold true to what we have attained. It's this realization that God loves you where you are, but too much to leave you where you were. That mercy and grace was purchased at the cross, and that's what heals you of your past. And yet God is calling you forward to become a new creation, to become completely whole, to surrender your will to His will. And I don't know about you, but man, this scripture today has put me in knots all morning. Because it's hard. I mean, this is hard. Doing this is hard. But I am wholly convinced it's worth it. Because here's what this convicts me of. I have room to grow. I'm not there yet. But man, I want to be. I want to be a stronger follower of Jesus. I want to be a better pastor to all of you. I want to be a better husband to my wife. I want to be a better father to my children. Well, that's kind. I appreciate that. I have my moments too. Trust me. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I have room to grow. And I think that's what our vision about transforming Methodism and leading the way is really all about, that there is this Wesleyan way of life that we're called to, and that's what makes us different. There's a lot of fantastic churches here in Lexington, and please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying bad about any of them. I'm just simply saying this is our path. This is our path. And we talk about at St. Luke, we're a community of people who love well. Well, to me, that's biblical. We're called to love God well. We're called to love our neighbor well. And it starts with possessing a personal saving faith. Unless mercy and grace meet you in your past, you're lost in your sins. It's that simple. And it's already been paid. New life is already here for you. That's why He's risen from the dead. He didn't just die on a cross. He rose again on the third day. And to possess that personal faith begins to set you on the path of the Wesleyan way of loving God well and loving your neighbor well. Along the way, you need to practice spiritual disciplines. It's not just enough to say that you're saved. God's calling you to more. Well, what are the disciplines? It means you read your scriptures and you pray and you show up for worship even when you don't feel like it. It means you're part of a small group or study. We have people out in the hallway today with name tags on. Nancy McKenzie, who are they today? Nancy McKenzie is it. But if you want to get in a house group, you need to talk to them because you've got to meet with people who will hold you accountable and help you grow in your faith. You also have to pursue a holy life. That's what God's calling us to up ahead. Well, how do I pursue a holy life? You ready? Here it comes. Put your thinking cap on with me. Go just like this. It helps, trust me. Some of y'all are buying this. And here's the question you got to ask yourself. What do I have to leave behind to get closer to Jesus? How many of you found at least one? How many of you whose hands are not raised are just not telling the truth right now? Yeah, I mean, we all do, right? I can think of five at least. And if you talk to my wife afterwards, she'll come up with more, I guarantee you. Rightly so. But to pursue a holy life, and then finally to proclaim faith in Jesus through our witness, and that's inviting other people to become part of the church, that's sharing your faith and sharing your story through mission. Get involved in North Carolina or serve somewhere here in the church. Be a part of God's pantry and being generous with your finances. And as you begin to live this Wesleyan way of loving well, you can't help but be straining toward what God has for you ahead in the prize of surrendering His will to your will. And that brings me to Thanksgiving. What a weird holiday this is it not? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? The way I'm going to be thankful is consume 8,000 calories. Come on, Jell-O, get in there! Isn't it a weird thing that we do? I mean, I watch the Lions every year. They're 9-1. If they win the Super Bowl, Jesus is definitely coming back. I'm putting you on alert. Okay? Okay? Right? Some of y'all watch the Cowboys. They're not winning as much as the Lions, but nobody's gloating. Some of y'all just caught that. Now, so we do all these weird things on Thanksgiving. And it's great, right? Because you're family and food and football. I mean, it's the three F's. What else could you possibly need? What if this week started with a different kind of Thanksgiving? What if it started with, thank you, God, for mercy and grace, which forgives me of my past, so I can forget what's behind and strain toward what's ahead with all that I've got and all that I am, trusting God's power to be at work in me and my participation in it. And God, I believe this. There's a prize and there's a man or woman of God in here that I want to become. So Holy Spirit, let's go. Amen. Starts here today. Starts at this altar. It's always open for you. Let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that mercy and grace met us at the cross, and it's your Spirit who's guiding us forward to change us and save us to the uttermost. We want to become those men and women of God. We want to become better followers and better husbands, better wives, better parents, better grandparents. And so, Jesus, we pray that you would send your Spirit upon us today to change our hearts, to transform our minds, that we might be able to submit our will so that it would become yours. We pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.